Welcome, Slate Plus members, to this Hang Up and Listen Plus episode. Remember that time when we asked people to send in suggestions for what to call these? Well, then, like, Joel was away, I was away, Stefan was away. We haven't really gotten our heads together to actually talk that through as a team. So if you still want to suggest what we should call these bonus episodes, email us at hangup@slate.com. We'll look through the suggestions, I promise. Back to the subject at hand. The last time we checked in on the Shohei Ohtani saga, we'd heard that the baseball star had spent $4.5 million to pay off his interpreter Ippei Mizuhara's gambling debts. Or maybe Mizuhara had actually stolen the money, we weren't sure. Or maybe this was all a cover and Ohtani was the one with the gambling problem. Well, that was 3 weeks ago. And yeah, now we're pretty damn sure that Mizuhara stole Ohtani's money. Last Thursday, federal authorities filed an affidavit accusing the interpreter of bank fraud on the order of $16 million. Stefan, you weren't on the show when we talked about this the first time, so you have nothing to apologize for. But the details here are really wild. What stood out to you in that affidavit?
Well, I want to say that if I had been on the show when you talked about it, I, of course, would have said that Shohei Ohtani is clean. He is an upright. Known him for decades. I trusted him totally. There was no way he was involved in any of this.
He's your emergency contact for your bank information.
If I had ever been on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, he would have been my lifeline. That's how close I feel to Shohei Ohtani. This shit is unbelievable. And we'll get into sort of some of the texts and the amounts of money that Mizuhara apparently stole from Ohtani. But the thing that leaps out to me is that Ohtani had like no backup. Like, athletes who make $1 billion have gigantic teams of people who look after every detail of their finances and their relationships, and the people that they employ. And this dude was like creating passwords for Ohtani, and nobody noticed of his financial advisors that millions of dollars were being transferred out of his accounts. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, man. It's actually sort of amazing. And if you go back, I mean, I guess if we go back to the time when these all first came up, I mean, I kind of feel like everybody owes a Shohei an apology,
right? Especially because, I mean, you, I think Joel. There was.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll throw myself on.
I don't think especially you.
I don't remember what I said, but I can admit now that I was kind of like, these stories kind of seem like bullshit. You know what I mean? I was just like, eh. And then, you know.
Well, the sort of savvy thing to say back then was, like, obviously the story doesn't make any sense. And, yeah. You know, Nate Silver wrote a whole long post about, I know people who are high stakes gamblers and, like, this is very suspicious and, like, high stakes gamblers do this and high stakes gamblers do that. And just it seemed like if you were going to design a cover story, it's like, oh, let's make the interpreter the fall guy. Well, it turns out that was all like completely unfair BS.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was unfair. And I guess the thing that, you know, Stefan, you mentioned like who was looking out for Ohtani, right? Man, have you just ever thought about how vulnerable you are? 23 years old, new country. Mm-hmm. You're making all this money, man, and you're just really vulnerable. And I don't, you know, I sort of remember what it was like to be 23 years old. I can only imagine if like somebody had asked me to just, you know, keep track of all your money and like know exactly where it's going and how all this is working out. And I didn't make very much money. I was making $35,000 a year when I was 23. So it wasn't as much to keep up with. But a guy like Ohtani, man, like it's, you really see how vulnerable a person like this is. Your interpreter, I guess, for back of Berlin, was his lifeline to the outside world.
Best friend,
in a lot of ways,
it sounds
man.
Like.
Yeah, it was his best friend. So yeah, I mean, like it just, as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh man. I mean, there's a lot we can say about gambling and the culture around it and everything else. But like, as I look at this, this is really sad, man. This is, Ohtani probably going to lose his best friend behind this. And it must just feel really awful for him.
It must be terrible. I mean, and the people that, again, back to his advisors, his agent, his financial advisors, his accountants, the absolute dereliction of duty here is unfathomable. There's the federal prosecutor's report says that the four of his advisors said they asked for access to the account in question that Mizuhara was taking money from, but were told by Mizuhara that Ohtani preferred to keep it private. And they believed the translator and didn't ask Shohei? I mean, I'm just trying to understand like what these relationships must be like. You know, are these people just sort of afraid of their billionaire client? Are they just bad at their jobs?
Well, it's just impossible to overstate how much language has to do with all this. I mean, Bill Plaschke, the LA Times columnist, yeah, notes that nobody on his team at CAA, his agency, speaks Japanese. So,
I mean, that's incredible. That's actually incredible. That's an incredible.
Incredible. For the amount of money that Ohtani was paying these people, incredible.
I mean, we've heard so many stories about financial advisors stealing money from their clients, whether athletes or anyone else, you know, famous clients. It's a familiar story. And then when you add in the layer of the best friends and the interpreter and the fact that he was speaking for Ohtani and sort of, it's like a kind of man in the middle attack in a way where he's the man and the man in the middle. I mean, it's really violating. And I agree with everything that you guys have said. But, you know, let's just talk a little bit about the details of the fraud here, because I mentioned $16.5 million, which is obviously a metric crap ton of money. But the thing that really stood out to me is the number of bets, which was 19,000 between December 2021 and this January. So it's 19,000 bets in 2 years. 25 bets a day between $10 and $160,000 for an individual bet. And then I think the numbers that really shocked everyone were the Mizuhara won $142 million on these bets and lost $183 million. So the total net balance of like negative $40 million plus. Sort of similar to the Jaguars employee who was stealing money from the team, and there was tens of millions of dollars of losses. But if you wanted, I mean, none of us are gamblers, but if you like wanted a case study and compulsive gambling and what it looks like in terms of the volume, I mean, I guess the 25 bets a day is as much a sign of the compulsiveness as the dollar amounts, because I think the money at a certain point just becomes fake if you're like addicted to it or compulsive.
And if you have access to the money to cover the debts, if you need to, right? 25 bets a day is probably not a lot. I'm sure there are tens of thousands.
Yeah, you just click. I guess you just click a button. I
mean, high school students or college students that are placing 25 or more bets a day. That did not strike me as a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The volume of the transactions, the dollar amounts are what.
I guess maybe it's not the amount per day. It's that it's every day, right?
Yeah.
Like that's just definition compulsive behavior.
Yeah, when Keyshawn Boutte, the former LSU receiver, New England Patriots guy, got in trouble around gambling, they said something. He made like 9,000 bets when he was at LSU, and that seemed like quite a bit. But I was like, oh, like there's actually people, like maybe that's just kind of the standard. That's how, it's just sort of a testament to how easy it is to sort of gamble your money away, right? So.
And before we let Ohtani completely off the hook, I mean, he's not 23
wow,
anymore,
Stephen.
Joel.
Blame the victim. Blame the victim.
Whoa. Blame the victim. He's 29, and one would think that this would be a little bit of a wake-up call in order
breaking
of
news. Stephen,
your
Stephen had all, Stephen had all of his money stolen from him by a fraudster. But before we let Stephen completely
it's
off
the Greek
hook.
My Greek translator.
Before we let Stephen off the hook, we just, you know, Stephen, you know, you should have known better.
True, but... You know, credit to Ohtani for not letting this bother him. He is hitting 338 with four.
Man, that guy is really good at sports.
RBI. He focuses.
I mean, isn't it really a testament to how focused he is? He's like, this really slow his shit
right
down.
In
or maybe he's like, I got to make that money.
No
up.
Distractions.
Maybe he could afford to be a little less focused. He's already so good. If he was just slightly worse at baseball, he wouldn't. This is Stephen's logic. Yeah, he's not pitching. He's not, you know, having tens of millions of dollars stolen from him anymore, so far as we know.
He's locking in. He's growing up just like Stephen was. So
it's about time, Shohei.
Thank you so much for your membership, Slate Plus members. We would never betray you in any way. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime, be sure to visit the Slate channel page on Apple Podcasts or slate.com/podcasts to check out all the other shows and perks included in your subscription.